This morning, we continue our Advent series, Unexpected Gifts. And we've been talking about these scriptures of Advent that we're familiar with, but there's often unexpected layers that need to be revisited, reread, and mined for the messages not only for that very first Christmas, but for their messages here today. And when we talk about the season of Advent, I want to remind you, we're going back into a time when the prophets had foretold that the Messiah would come. They had given hints or clues. They had talked about small, weak towns becoming great. They had talked about donkeys. They had talked about a virgin. They had talked about these clues or hints, but for 400 years, those prophets were silent. And for 400 years, God's people continued to worship and serve and pray and proclaim those same messages to each generation and to one another, knowing that God would be faithful. Knowing that God would be faithful. And so after the 400 years of silence, things begin to happen. It's as if this tapestry that is between heaven and earth, the threads begin to loosen. And let's begin to hear our scripture this morning, looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Hear now the word of God. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." I'm going to pause right there, because if you get one verse out of the entire scripture today, "for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, pour yourself out on each of our hearts and our minds so that we may hear from you again how you're speaking to our hearts today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Last week, Pastor Michael talked about the prophet Isaiah, and he set forth that there is a question behind this entire season of Advent. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 66, and this is what it says. "Will God tear open the heavens and come down? Will God make his name known?" The entire question behind Advent: will God tear open the heavens? Will he come near to the earth? Will God reveal himself? Or for anyone who's ever walked a difficult time, will God show up? It is the question of Advent, and it's into that very question that the people of God were living years ago. They were asking the same thing that we ask today. Is God here? Does he know what he's doing? Is he compassionate? Does he know what's going on earth? And if so, is he showing up on our behalf? Now, I have to dare say that all of us like a good angel story, right? I mean, I think about my graduation. Someone gave me an angel charm, and I wore it for years. I have some angel figurines that just remind me when I'm a little bit out of sorts that I can take a deep breath because there are angels in our world. I think about scriptures where angels literally cared and tended for the prophets in their times of need. Can I ask you, church, couldn't we use a good angel story this year? Yes. And that's why Advent is amazing. Because there's not just one, there's three angels that visit. There's three stories. The first one Pastor Michael touched on last week, but he was preaching in an entire different direction, so I'm going to touch on that one again. It was in Jerusalem where Zechariah was a priest, and he was doing the ordinary work of the priest in the temple. It could have been an ordinary day like this, with an ordinary priest, with the people of God praying around him, Scripture tells us. Zechariah was chosen by lot to go into the temple, and it tells us at the time this thing happened to him that he was lighting incense. While he was lighting incense, the angel Gabriel appeared to him. Now, I do want you to notice in the scripture, it tells you nothing about comfort and joy from the angel. That is not the reaction. Instead, it says that Zechariah is terrified. I mean, think about it. He knows he's the only one in the temple. No one's supposed to show up, right? Except don't we pray every week that God will show up and that his spirit will show up? And that, isn't that the irony, right? We pray every week that God somehow will show up in a powerful way. And when he does, we're scared. Gabriel says those words that we appreciate the angel saying again and again until we can get it. Do not be afraid. And we take a deep breath in. And the angel begins to talk to Zechariah. And the scriptures already told us that he has a wife named Elizabeth. And that Zechariah and Elizabeth aren't young new pastors, but they've been in the ministry for a long time now. Zechariah is advanced in age, as well as his wife, Elizabeth. She's so advanced that she's beyond childbearing years. And part of the sad story of her life and her heart's desires is that she has been barren. She's been unable to have a child. Especially in the line of God's people, it was extremely difficult to be a woman who was barren. It literally meant that she could not further God's covenant to the next generation through her. The sadness was a sadness of not carrying her own, but the sadness was also the sadness of not having the opportunity to carry God's covenant to the next generation in her own household. And there is no doubt that there have been many nights of despair and hopelessness, that there have been times of sorrow and weeping. And so we are not surprised when Gabriel says to Zechariah, guess what? A baby's coming. And guess to who? You and your wife. Gabriel is just astounded. And he does exactly what we would do. He does the earthly calculations for the heavenly message. Isn't that often our problem? We do earthly calculations for heavenly messages. Not possible. How can it be? How can it be? The next time we find the angel will actually be 6 months later. He's no longer flying around Jerusalem, but now has come to a small town called Nazareth. And he enters into a young home of this young girl named Mary. And we're told again in the scripture that the same angel, Gabriel, has slipped through those threads of heaven again. And Gabriel comes to Mary and says, greetings, favored one. And again, she does not experience comfort and joy as soon as she sees an angel. The scripture actually says her heart was troubled. Her heart was troubled because she could not comprehend this greeting, which I think is a really friendly way to say she couldn't comprehend the greeting or the greeter. Her heart was troubled. Gabriel begins with the same line, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." And then it was interesting. Remember, Gabriel's first message to Zechariah was, "A baby is a-coming." His message to Mary is, "A baby's a-coming." It's the exact same message. The impossibility with Elizabeth was that she was advanced in age, and Mary will soon question the angel and pronounce her impossibility. I don't know which house you thought you landed in, but I'm not that kind of girl. I have no experience in that situation. Not me. I can't have a child right now. And the angel's really patient with her. Gabriel continues to build the story with her and says to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. This child is not to be only from you. This child is a gift from God that will be called the Son of God. And you will bear this gift to the world." Gabriel will go on and talk about the naming of Jesus and some of what he will do in this world. It's a powerful angel visit. And then we don't know how much time has passed, but we do know a conversation has happened. Somewhere before an angel comes again, Mary has gotten together with Joseph, who she's engaged to, and had probably the hardest conversation of her life. I tried to imagine, because scripture gives us nothing on this, how that conversation happens. I think I would cook Joseph his favorite meal, right? I think I would offer him a second helping of dessert. I know I would say, "Sit down, dear. you're going to want to be seated for this." How do you tell the love of your life that you need them to walk beside the scariest thing you have ever heard? And then how do you tell the love of your life that everyone around us is going to question me and you and God, but I need you to be with me and to believe me? I can only imagine the conversation, because scripture doesn't tell us about it, but we know it happens because we find Joseph in scripture, in the book of Matthew, pondering what he has heard from Mary. The Holy Spirit's going to bring a baby, that somehow this is happening. And scripture tells us that he's confused and that he's trying to figure out what to do. And he makes a decision. He decides to excuse her quietly, to not make a big public display, to not take her into the center of the village, to not take her down in front of everyone in the temple. He doesn't want to disgrace her or hurt her. We learn in Joseph that he must love her. So he wants to quietly separate from her, to divorce from this engagement, this more powerful commitment than what we call an engagement today. He wants to do it quietly. And then it's interesting what the text says. He falls asleep. Have you ever had a decision that you're ringing with for days and you haven't slept for days, and finally you make up your mind and you say, "Okay, God, I've done this every direction I can. This is the decision, and it's all I can do," and then you finally sleep? He finally finds rest. And into that rest, those loosened threads of heaven let out another angel. We do not know if it's Gabriel, because the scripture doesn't tell us. We don't know. Was he too sleepy to remember the name? Or did he not know either? But an angel comes to Joseph in his dreams. And even though he's made this decision that finally brings him peace, the angel's now going to tell him the right decision. "Joseph, you are going to take Mary, and she will be your wife. You will not have relations to her until this child is born. but you will care for this child and raise this child, and you will be with Mary. It's another amazing visit of an angel leading up, setting the stage for us. And when I look at these passages, it makes me think about that word angel in Scripture. It comes from the Greek angelos, angelos, which means messenger, messenger. What were the roles of these angels? They were the messengers of God, telling each individual in the nativity story what they needed to hear. But I also believe they're telling the church exactly what we need to hear today. You see, remember that first angel went to Zechariah and went to Elizabeth, and they had had sorrow and hardship, and unfair things had happened to them that should not happen to God's faithful people. But the angel had a message, and the message was, a baby's a-coming, which undoes your sorrow. Hope will be born again. Your sorrow is not your story. You will be remembered forever for the hope of the birth of your child. Your child will be great and bring hope to this world as well, even as he points to the one who is ultimate hope. The second angel, Gabriel again, or the second visit, is again with Mary. And the message was, tell me, church. The first message was, a baby's a-coming. The second message was, a baby's a-coming. And we already know that meant hope for Elizabeth and Zechariah. We heard the words of Scripture today said profoundly, the word of God will never fail. The message of God will never fail. The one who is the word, the one who is Christ, will never fail. Jesus, the Son of God, will never fail us. It's a message for those in the nativity, but it's a message for the church and the world today. And then there was that third visit, the sleepy time visit, the one you wake up and you wonder, did that one really happen? It's as real as the daytime ones. An angel said to Joseph, well, let's just go back there. The first one was, a baby's a-coming. The second one was, a baby's a-coming. You want to guess the third one? A baby's a-coming. And you're going to be the daddy. You're going to be the earthly daddy for the Heavenly Father's son. And I imagine that moment when he hears, God the Father in heaven has already named him. So I want you to pass the name along. His name will be Jesus, because he will save his people. His name is Jesus, because he will bring salvation to the church and to the world. His name is Jesus. It will be 9 months later, and there will be shepherds out on a hillside near this little town called Bethlehem. And it'll be dark, and they'll be listening with their ears for predators that might be in the brush. They'll be looking through grayscale, trying to protect their flock. They'll take the babies, and they'll try to get them in the center of the adults, and they'll take the one that's injured, and they may even lay closer to that one, just to try to get their sheep through one more night. And it will be right there on that hillside that those loosened threads burst open. And Scripture tells us that not one angel, but a multitude of the heavenly host slipped through the heavenly tapestry into this earthly sky. And they began to sing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all people. And do you know what their message was? A baby's a-coming? Or maybe even a little bit more present tense? The baby's here! For unto you this day is born in the city of David an infant, a child, a baby, who is Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have heard the angels sing, we have heard the angels speak, and we know their messages. We now wait and we pray for Christ to come again. And during this Advent, as we wait for Christ to come again, I pray that the threads of heaven get loose again, and that the angels start to descend upon us. I pray that the messengers become far and wide. And I pray that in the days, on any day that the angels aren't singing and speaking, that the church is. That you are in your neighborhood and in your family and in your community talking of the baby that's coming. Speaking of hope being born anew in you and in this world. Speaking of salvation that has come in Christ. And speaking of Christ who is sure to come again because God's word never fails. Let us pray. Holy God, pour yourself out in this place. Help us to be your messengers here on earth. At times, help us get glimpses of those messengers in heaven. And together, may we glorify and proclaim the good news to this world. We will be mercy and compassion and service and acts of kindness and mission and ministry until you come again. And all God's people said, Amen.